This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we would love to have you come out and visit with us in one of our Sunday services. Maybe you're new to the area or you don't have a church home. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. And we would be thrilled if you chose to come and worship with us. Our mission statement is we exist to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And we want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our families. We want to be a blessing to the church, and we want to be a blessing to the community. That's what we exist to do, not just to be a spiritual blessing, but a relational blessing as well. And we're going to be talking about one of the ways that we can be a blessing to one another. Here in just a moment, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. But if being a blessing sounds like something that you could be a part of, I'd like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. I was having a conversation with my son when we when I was praying about this latest mission statement. It's been something that's been part of who we are for several years now. And he said, "Well, Dad, that doesn't sound like very much of a stretch for your church." And I was like, "Well, I thought that the goal was for things to be a statement about who we are so that, you know, we always remember who we are." And being a blessing is something that we have been preaching since my kids were little. It's not just the message we preach, but it's what we try and exist to be every single solitary day. So we would love it if God made it possible for you to join us in that commitment to be a blessing to the King and to the kingdom in Brevard County. If you choose to worship with us, that would be great. So 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. That's the address of the church. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18 today. Verse number 18 begins with this. It's at the tail end of the armor of God. It says, "Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." I don't believe that this is a post-remark to the armor of God discussion. I believe it's very integral to that discussion. It's part of the armor. Prayer is our communication system with our commander in chief. So, on yesterday's program, we were talking about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That was two of the references where the word "all" is used. One of them is translated "always" here, praying always. And then the second was with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That was the first reference to supplication. And as we talked about yesterday, that means that we are praying, we're presenting our requests, our petitions, our needs to God. But there's a comma there where it says, "and supplication in the Spirit." And it's followed by these words, "being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And when you look up that word, being watchful, it means to be alert, to look, to watch, or to look after. So I want to tell you today that prayer is our spiritual alert system. And it just doesn't have bearing upon our spiritual life, but it can be used for our regular, our daily life, our physical life, our mind, our physical things that we deal with. It can alert us to things that are going on, maybe emotionally with someone. So I know a person, part of our church, and I remember hearing this statement that they knew that they needed to be praying and fasting for a family member before they knew why they had to be praying and fasting for them. They knew something was up, and they started praying and fasting simply because the Holy Spirit gave them insight and said, you need to be praying for this situation right now. They're in another one of those seasons right now. They know why this time, but they're praying for family members because the Holy Spirit let them know. This is something where we are supposed to use prayer not only to communicate to God, but allow Him to communicate to us of what to be on red alert for. So, the part of the country that I come from, they have tornado sirens. They have tornado sirens all throughout the city. When I grew up, we had a tornado that landed right across the street from our house. It literally blew a panel of our next door neighbor's fence down, but it landed across the street, and then the lots were teeny tiny. Our front yard might have been 15 or 20 feet. Our backyard might have been, 25 feet, just very, very tiny lots. So you put in the standard street, you put in another house. Well, right in the backyard of that person's house is where the tornado touched down, and I saw it. It had been coming towards me instead of away from me. Someone else would be filling this time slot right now. That's how close it was. Massive storm that devastated the part of town we were in. That was just one of three tornadoes that I can remember very distinctly in just that area of town. One of them wiped out a grocery store that I would eventually work at. And then another one just changed the landscape of the city I lived in forever. There was a church that got hit. There was a shopping center right there. I think the church actually ended up buying parts of that shopping center. But there were restaurants that never returned after that. It was devastating. So tornadoes were something, they were to that region the way that hurricanes are to us. Only you don't get advance notice with the tornadoes unless you have this system, which they have, of tornado sirens. Tornado sirens would go off whenever the conditions were right. Somebody was watching the radar and said, conditions are right for tornadic activity and you need to take cover. So where we lived at that point in time, I did not have a storm cellar, but where my great-grandmother lived, she did. You didn't want to go down there. You'd almost rather take your chance in the storm than to go down in that storm cellar. I get cringy just thinking about it. But the tornado siren was not to be ignored. It was to give you a heads up as to the potential for destruction, and you needed to be on the lookout, and you needed to take whatever actions were necessary to make sure that you were safe. Well, that is one of the aspects of prayer. Prayer allows us to hear from heaven when we need to be on high alert. So I want to take you to a passage in the Old Testament. It's in the book of 2 Kings. Amazingly enough, 2 Kings appears right after 1 Kings. And it comes right before 1 Chronicles. So 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, his prophetic successor, in verse number 8, it describes the time in which Elisha was living. And it says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice." In other words, it happened a lot. "Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel?'" In other words, he is asking, which one of us is the spy in here? "And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' So he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Surely he is in Dothan.' Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, 'This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek.' But he led them to Samaria. So it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see.' And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were there inside Samaria." I'm going to stop the reading right there. The interesting thing to me about this attack by the king of Syria is that in chapter 5, Naaman, who was the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was healed of leprosy. The first person to be recorded, to the best of my recollection, of leprosy in the scripture was not a person from Judah or a person of Israel, but this person. No, I take that back. Miriam. Miriam had leprosy, and she was healed of that. So, Stan, I correct myself. My memory will activate at some point in time here completely. So Naaman is a foreigner, and he comes to Israel because a little girl who was a prisoner of war, who's been carried off captive into Syria, is now serving Naaman and tells him, "Oh, I wish that my master was in Israel, because my God could heal him." And so the king of Syria sends to the king of Israel. The king of Israel panics and sends the man to Elisha, and Elisha tells him to go dip in the Jordan River seven times, and he was healed. So the king, or the commander of the army of the king of Syria, departs from the king with leprosy, comes back delivered from leprosy. And I don't think I would want to be messing with the nation whose God who had just healed my servant. It might sound naive on my part, but I wouldn't be messing with them. Well, they now begin to make plans for strategic attacks on Israel, and Elisha mentions to the king of Israel, don't go here. The king of Syria is planning there. Don't go here. That's where he's planning on being now. Don't go over here. And it really bothered the king of Syria because his plans were being thwarted. His own servants, when confronted with the charge of treasonous espionage, said, it's not any of us. God is revealing to Elisha, the prophet, the words that you say in secret. Now we would think that somebody had just bugged the place or there was electronic surveillance of some type. But in that day, that technology did not exist anywhere but the throne room of heaven. And so God knows not only what is going on in the people of God, but he knows the strategies, the schemes that the enemy is plotting against the people of God. And when we pray, he can give us a spiritual alert. Be careful, the enemy is lurking in this area. Did you know that God gave Cain a spiritual alert that sin was crouching at his door and he needed to be on guard against it before he let his anger get the best of him to where he killed his brother Abel? Prayer is not only us informing God, even though he knows everything, but it is also receiving divine communication from heaven to be on alert. So be alert, be watchful, to this end. Well, what happens, I love the mindset of foolishness sometimes that ungodly people utilize. The king who has, every plan of his has been disclosed to Elisha, says, well, rather than attacking the king of Israel, let's find out where Elisha is, and we will go lay siege to that city. And so Elisha gets up one morning. The man of his servant gets up, and he goes out and looks, and there an army is surrounding the city, and there's all sorts of chariots. And the servant says to Elisha, what are we going to do? And Elisha said, well, the first thing we're going to do is what we're not going to do. We're not going to be afraid. Do not fear. Why? Because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So God not only caused him to be watchful of what the enemy was planning, but he was also watchful for what God had provided. And in this case, he provided an angelic protection that was surrounding the army, that was surrounding the city. So he says, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, if you saw that army surrounding, we would probably start praying for the enemy's demise right away. Elisha didn't do that. Elisha prayed for his servant first. He prayed for his servant this prayer: God, open his eyes that he may see. And so, a very simple prayer, and God gave a very quick answer. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So he became aware that God was not absent from the battlefield. He was in control of it. So the first prayer he prays is, God, for my servant, open his eyes. The second prayer he prayed is a prayer for the army that was attacking, and he said, God, close their eyes. Make them blind. Make it to where they can't see. So to the king of Syria, he has shown that the God of Elisha was able to heal what no one else could heal. He now sees, or he now reveals to the king of Syria in his army, that he is able to blind and open men's eyes at the command of, or at the prayer of one of his servants. So he prays, God, strike this people, I pray, with blindness, and he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And he says, here, let me take you where you really need to be. And so Elisha was never a victim in this process, even though he was under attack. So when he gets them to Samaria, to the king, he says, God, open their eyes that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, there they were inside Samaria. And instead of having them killed, which is what the king of Israel says, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? He said, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. All because Elisha's prayer life was not only about praying for needs, but it was about being alert and being watchful, knowing what was going on. Later on in that chapter, in spite of the fact that God had revealed to the king of Syria many times, multiple occasions, that he was able to do supernatural things, the king of Syria attacks again. He lays siege to the city of Samaria. Food becomes very, very dire and hard to find. People are starving to death inside the city. And Elisha lets the king know that God's getting ready to bring deliverance. And that's exactly what happens in chapter 7. And the deliverance comes speedily. So I want to encourage you that no matter how desperate the situation, you and I still need to follow the words to a very old chorus. And that is this: turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I remember one time I was praying for someone else, and God said, I want you to be careful. He told me not to say anything, just to walk and be silent. So that's what I did. He said, but you need to be careful because the enemy has his targets set on you as much as he has his targets set on the other person. This admonition in Ephesians chapter 6 about prayer, which is part of the armor of God, in my opinion, it says, be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Being watchful is not just about us. Being watchful should be about other people as well. So my son found himself in a very dangerous setting at one point in time. And my wife was fasting and praying, and she prayed for hours a day just to make sure that he was safe. He was in a very, very dangerous situation. He ended up, I'll tell that part of the story here in just a second. So what would happen would I'd be sleeping and God would give me a dream and he would be letting me know that my son was, who was not anywhere close that I could get to him. I couldn't call him or anything like that. He said, let him know that he's in danger. And so I'd send messages the only way that I could, which I don't remember what that was at this point in time. And God would protect him. And there was one time that he got into a bad situation. And when he got back to a safe place, he said, I wonder why I didn't hear from Dad this time. And when he got to where he was going, there was a message waiting for him from me that I'd sent. It said, be careful. I don't know what's going on, but I know this. You need to keep an eye out, because you're in a dangerous situation. I believe that one of the reasons that the enemy tries to keep the people of God as prayerless as we are is because prayer is a threat to the enemy's plans. Our life would be a whole lot better if we spent more time talking to our commander-in-chief, who can tell us, hey, activate your spiritual alert system because the enemy's got something planned and I've got a greater victory plan than what the enemy has in attack. God, I pray that all of us would be praying and that we would be alert, not just for our own selves, but for all of the saints, for those around us. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of God is doing and saying. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.